I want to share a message with you tonight, and then I want to take a little bit of time. I want to try to do this really quick, and I want to take a little time here at the end of service to pray again for one another, because I'm teaching on prayer, teaching on supernatural, I'm teaching on God's laws of healing. And so get your Bibles out, because we might as well learn to practice what we learn. Amen. Doesn't do any good just to hear a message and then you just say, oh, wasn't that sweet, and you go off. But you, when you want to learn, we want to learn, and then we want to put it into practice. The things of God are meant for practice. Thank you. And so turn in your Bibles to, first of all, turn to Exodus chapter 13. No, Exodus chapter 12. And then hold your fingers there. And then I believe go to Matthew chapter 8. This is a complicated message. I had to go to two places at the same time. And let's just pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just declare that this, Lord, this message that it just is in my heart, it just burns within my heart to preach, this message of victory, this message of your divine healing, of, Lord, what you bought and paid for us on the cross. Lord, I just pray that I can preach, Lord, in a way that like I've not used to preaching, Lord, that it's by your signs and power and wonder, Lord, it just something opens up our eyes and we can see like we've never seen before. We can see and behold your word like we've never seen. Faith would rise within our hearts, and Lord, we begin to just see the word leaping off the pages and the reality of it and the victory of it, Lord God, and we just begin to walk in knowing that Jesus, you paid for our sins to be forgiven upon the cross. But Lord, you also paid for our sicknesses to be healed. And that it's your health care program to see this walk in divine healing. It's your program, Lord God, to see us walk with the Word of God being spoken and people being healed and delivered and set free. Lord, I declare tonight that our eyes will be open like we've never seen before, and we'll be able, Lord God, to walk in everything that you've called us to. Everything you've called us to do, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen and amen. I'm in the wrong scripture. I want Luke 8, excuse me. I had the right number, wrong book. Luke 8 and Exodus 12. Okay, I've been trying to, you know, like a prosecuting attorney, make the case that if Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that did he not at the same time that our sins were forgiven make the appropriation for us to be healed physically? We've looked at Isaiah 53, we've looked at other scriptures that if God, if we can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you sin, your sins can be forgiven, then you have to believe, because of what the scripture says, that also God wants to heal your physical bodies. But the problem is that we get all wrapped up in a lot of thinking that causes us to get into doubt and unbelief. And that's the bottom line. There's no matter how you cut it, no matter what you want to say, the bottom line for sickness ravaging our bodies and us not walking in divine healing like God wants us to is of doubt and unbelief. We just don't believe. And if you say to me, well, I don't know, Pastor, if that's right, I rest my case. Doubt and unbelief is there within our hearts. Now, I'm not saying we don't use doctors. There's a bad case that went on up in, Wisconsin, where the man denied medical attention to his daughter and said prayer was enough, and she died. And she was a diabetic, and what she needed was insulin, and it would have been a simple thing to have his daughter here. And it was wrong. That was a wrong decision. He made a decision for somebody else. And listen to me. First principle I saw violated in this thing of God's law was you do not perpetrate your belief upon somebody else's free will. And that was the whole issue that was wrong with that thing. That girl was of an age of accountability. She was 14 years old, I believe, 13, 14. And should have been her choice. She couldn't make a choice because she'd gone into a coma. Parents made a wrong decision. They should have never done that. God will not violate a person's free will, nor can you violate a person's free will. That's the rules of God's law. It's the rules of our law. You cannot. If a person wants to go to hell, they got to go. As hard as that sounds, that's the truth. If a person does not want to believe in healing, then that's their business. You cannot. You can teach them the word. You can show them the word. You can explain the word. But I'm telling you what, God made each and every one of us free will beings, and he will not violate your free will. He would let a person go to hell crying tears of heaven all the way down the road as they're going and making the wrong decision because he doesn't want them to go down there, but he will not violate their free will. In the garden, God could have jumped down right in front of Eve and said, "Don't you touch that apple, I'm telling you right now." And he didn't do it. Okay? Because God wants us. Listen, this is so important. God wants us as human beings, his created beings, to worship him freely. To love him freely. To love him by our choice. Not because of the pressure and mandate upon God. That's why I don't like preachers who want to preach fear. Because listen to me, I've never seen a person serve God out of, when I say fear, I'm not talking about holy reverence. I'm talking about, you know, if you don't do right, God's going to get you. Nobody's going to serve God from that. We serve God out of love. I serve Jesus because I know that he loved me so much he paid the price for me on the cross, that he gave up his life and died for me. And who in the world would have done that? But he did. And so I love him because he loved me first, right? And so I want to serve Jesus because he gave his life for me out of love. I don't want to serve him out of fear and disobedience. Oh, if we don't do it, it's really going to be bad. Okay, so you can't violate somebody's free will. A person has to come to a place of faith and belief in Jesus. And they have to come to a place where what I'm preaching tonight, that you believe that God Almighty's word, that if he died for your sins, he died for your healing. And it all comes about, are we going to believe and are we going to walk in faith? That's the whole bottom line. Because God by no means ever uses sickness. God by no means ever tempts someone with sickness. God never throws cancer down from heaven on somebody and says, let's just see how hard they can make it in life and see if they'll still serve me. God's not like that. Folks, God's good. He loves us. Amen? And the world needs to know that. That's what's wrong with the world. The world doesn't know God loves them. They're still thinking God's this man, old grumpy old man in heaven sitting in a rocking chair with a fiery finger shooting down cancer here and accidents there and acts of God everywhere, tornadoes, send some tornadoes and see if them people in Oklahoma will get to believe in me. You know, has anybody ever just come up and realized that that's just a bad place to live in a trailer park in Oklahoma? That is maybe not the best, wisest decision. That there just happens to be patterns of tornadoes coming across that area at certain times of the year, and you just shouldn't be there. I mean, let's get a little sense here, you know? But it's always an act of God. God did it. And so people get in their minds God as being this guy that's shooting down lightning bolts and frying everybody and causing accidents and doing this stuff, and that's never God's. That's never God. God loves humanity. But God will not violate free will. Look at the person beside you and say, that's good. So you see a situation here in Luke chapter 8. Let's read there first over in verse 40. Where so it was that Jesus returned and the multitude welcomed him and they were all waiting for him. And there was a certain man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and he begged him to come to his house. He had only one daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying, but he went, and the multitude was thronging him. And the women having, and a woman, not the women, a woman having a flow of blood, about 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. Now listen to me, I am not against physicians. I am not against going to the doctor. I am not against getting a doctor's opinion on what may be going on wrong with you. I'm not against that. But I'm telling you, they are not the great physician. They have only learned, humanity's only learned what the rhythms of the body and what goes on in the body, and they don't have a very limited knowledge of it. And if a doctor thinks he's curing, he's wrong. Because God made the body, and a lot of times the body is healing itself through different things that go on, but it's all God. He gets all the glory for it. Amen? And so I'm not against physicians. I'm not against doctors. You need doctors and physicians to keep you alive, to your faith, to get to where it needs to be, to believe God. It's the truth. We'd all be dead. Of course, by the end of the year and the healthcare program gets in there, you know, you're not going to have to worry about that too much anymore. It's a little side note. Yeah, it would read, never mind. Come on, just get on. Leave it alone, Rob. Leave it alone. Okay. 44. Now let me start at 43 again. Now, a woman having a flow of blood 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians who could not be healed by any of them, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now, when all denied it, Peter and those who were with him said, "Master, multitudes have thronged you and pressed upon you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power has gone out from me." Okay, so Jesus is walking now. You could say this, that, well, that's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's all powerful. He is, you know, he's the Messiah. He was. But what I want you to see here is that Jesus was walking in the natural. Everybody agree to this? He was God in flesh, but he still walked natural. His feet were getting dirty down the street. He was hungry. He was thirsty. I mean, he was a normal bodily human, right? There was no exceptions. He didn't have a special something. You follow me? He was God in flesh, but he was flesh. So he says in his flesh, he perceived that power went out of him. Now listen to me. If Jesus wasn't, now this may blow some of your socks off, but if Jesus was not just like you and I, empowered by the Holy Ghost, walk on the face of this earth, then what he would have been doing was something that he could have never turned to you and said, "Now go and do likewise." Because he couldn't ask you to do something that he wasn't doing that you couldn't do. John's gospel, John 14, says the works that Jesus did, he wants you to do, and greater works than he wants you to do, because he's going to the Father. So you got to realize this. If Jesus could walk down the street and perceive that power went out of him, then you could walk down the street and perceive power has left you. But you can't walk down the street and perceive power has left you if you're never hooked up to the power. Or if you have no idea what I'm talking about. You follow me? Because there's Christians walking around all the time, and I'm not talking about psychic kind of stuff and this kind of stuff and, you know, the new age kind of stuff and all kinds of stuff. No, I'm talking about Jesus said when the woman that was sick, her faith, because we'll see in the scriptures in a minute, he said to her, "Your faith has done this. Your faith is healed." That woman, by faith, when she reached out and touched Jesus, she drew from him virtue or power that came out of him that healed her body. And he knew nothing of it until she touched him. And he felt, whoop, something. Hey, wait. I perceive powers coming at me. Well, he just says, they make the point twice here that the people were thronging upon him. People were all over him. People were pushing against him, but nothing was happening to those people because those people were just walking along, seeing Jesus as just a man. They were just walking down the street with Jesus, all around Jesus. They wanted to hear him preach. They wanted to hear him talk. They wanted to hear him see him do a miracle. They were all waiting for Jesus to do a miracle. They wanted to see something. The whole time they could have tapped into the power of God, but only one woman who had fought through the crowd. You got to understand this woman now. She came through the crowd. If they would have, crowd would have known that she had an issue of blood, they could have stoned her. She knew she was putting her life on the line to get to Jesus, to touch that thread in his garment, that blue thread which represented the word of God, to grab hold of her covenant and promise. She knew that at any moment somebody could say, oh my God, that's old Matilda right there. By God, she's got an issue of blood. Kill her. And those people that looked so good going to go see Jesus do a miracle would have picked up rocks and stoned that poor old Matilda right there. They'd have said, Matilda, Matilda, why did you come to town? Hope nobody's named Matilda tonight. Y'all with me? That's what would have happened. But when she touched Jesus in faith, power came out of Jesus. Virtue came out of Jesus. The virtue that touched her healed her. Not a lightning bolt, not a mystical glory cloud, you see what I'm saying? What I'm trying to get you to see, I'm trying to see how common this is. This is what I want you to see. It was, yes, it was divine. Yes, it was holy. Yes, it was God. But it was common. No one saw it. Nothing happened. There was not a spark of... And everybody said, did you? Somebody see a spark? Y'all with me? Have you ever at night, when it's cold in the winter, if you have like a wool blanket, and if you move that wool blanket in your sheets, you know, it'll make little sparks all over? Y'all with me? Yeah? I didn't see none of that come off of Jesus. Go flying sparks over to the woman. See, what I'm saying is that we can miss the power of God so easily because there was a multitude of people standing right there and did not see his own disciples that loved him, spent 3.5 years with him, that ate with him, that understood, saw miracles and signs and wonders, missed what had happened. They could have walked right on it. The woman would have never said anything. She'd have never been written in the book, and nobody would have known anything about it. If Jesus would not have stopped and said, virtue's gone out of me. Now, Jesus wouldn't ask you to be the same way if it wasn't possible for you to be connected such with the power of God, because the Bible says over and over and over and over and over again that those that are born again that have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit of God dwells within them. Now, what I'm challenging you to is because I'm telling you, I believe we're going to come to a place in this world that there's going to be a very hurting world that is going to need signs, wonders, and miracles and power again, because they ain't going to get no health care. They're not going to get nothing else. They're going to be in some bad shape and they're going to need some help. And I'm telling you what, they're going to be looking for something, and it's not going to be any good to say, well, listen, I have a few antibiotic pills left over from a prescription I didn't quite get through with, and maybe these 3 or 4 pills can help you. They're going to need the power of the living God to come bursting forth out of you and touch their bodies, and people will see that Jesus is alive again. Well, he's always been alive, but they're going to see he's alive. Y'all with me? I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe it's up to us as Christians to dig down and get hold of what the Word of God says, that then get those truths down into our hearts so that when the occasion arises, you just simply look at the person and say, do you want me to pray? If that person with their free will says yes, when you pray, things happen because you're connected. Now, let me show you something here. I got an extension cord. This is what you are. This is where Christians mess up so many times. Because let me tell you something. You yourself do not have the power to heal a sick gnat. Okay? Just get it straight. You got nothing to offer. You can offer some comfort. You could offer some cookies. You could offer a nice cake if you know how to make it or something like that. But you ain't got nothing of any energy and power to give. You are an extension cord. Okay? This is you. You're an extension cord. The only way it works is that if you have this end of your extension cord plugged into Jesus, and then you offer someone the other end of the extension cord that they can plug into and get healed, you're nothing but an extension cord. When you say to somebody, "Would you like me to pray?" this is what you're doing. You're offering the extension cord to them. Saying, you want to plug into the receptacle? If you plug in the receptacle, this power that I'm connected into, this Jesus that I know, I'm going to show you in a minute how you get your connector connected in, but this Jesus that I know that I'm plugged into over here, then he will flow through me, the extension cord, to you and heal your body. But I ain't got nothing to offer. I'm just a conduit. I'm just an extension cord. Now, Christians get it all messed up because they want to say it's them. And they want to think, oh, God's gifted me. I have such a great gift. It is a gift that if you ever get through your thick head, that you're an extension cord. Well, let me tell you something. I don't believe that the gift of healing was just given to just certain men. I believe the gift of miracles is given to certain men. But I want to tell you something. The gift of healing is given to each and every one of us as believers, because if you, listen, okay, let me just ask y'all a question. Right now, the old sinner Bob comes to town and he happens to come to your house and said, I've lived such a wicked life. I am the sorriest, no good for nothing that there ever was. I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. What can you do for me? And he said, well, I can't do anything, but this Jesus I know can do something for you. And if you'd confess your sin to him and you'd ask him to forgive you, he'll forgive your sins and you can be a Christian. He'll come into your heart right now. And he says, can he? He said, yeah, let's pray. You want to pray? I want to pray. And you take that person by the hand and you pray a sinner's prayer with them. You get them to ask Jesus to come into their life and they truly mean it from their heart. What's going to happen? Right? Jesus is going to do a miracle. What did you do? You took the extension cord that you knew. You plugged it into the Jesus that you'd learned that saved you and healed, that set you free and forgave your sins, right? And then you offered him the receptacle on the other end of it, and you said, here, plug in, get right in here and get hooked into what I'm talking about. And let's do that. And then by him, by faith, making a profession of faith, he plugged in, right? And then what happened? Boom, he got saved. Now, not any of us. If you came to church, you'd give that testimony, you'd rejoice. Oh, sinner Bob, he was in town, came by the house, bless God. He got saved today. Everybody said, oh, praise the Lord. Is that glorious? Right? Y'all would say, I don't know about that stuff. I don't know about that. That's kind of spooky. I don't know about that healing stuff. I don't know about that salvation stuff. I don't really know. You go to any church, tell them that testimony. Well, not any church. Go to some churches, tell them that testimony, and they'd say, that is so great. Am I right? There's no difference, folks. If Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he died on the cross for our healing. There's no difference. The only difference is you got to get the receptacle plugged in to that power, the same power of the saving, the same power that's going to heal him. You're not looking for a different circuit. You're not going to have to go over there to the box and find another 30-amp breaker to kick on. No, no, no. You're got to just, it's the same Jesus. Same Jesus that saves is the same Jesus that heals. There's not any difference. You don't have to find something different. You don't got to go to another department. It's all in the same thing. See, let's don't make it so complicated. Well, I don't know. One time I was praying and I did like this and then I felt the power come through me. And so we're going to pray. We got to get your foot up and just pray just like this and just come by and you'll get your seat. People are that goofy. Christians are that goofy. I mean, I have been guilty myself. I have myself. So I can't point the finger. I'm just saying I want to grow and mature and go on, and let's get this thing to a common level that all of us can operate in the things of God, because healing should be no different than salvation. It's all the same package. Now, let me just digress here a second. Miracles, that's different. And there are people that have a gift of miracles, and miracles happen when some of these other certain people pray. But I'm talking about healing. I'm talking about the same physical healing that would heal your soul or your spirit and get saved is the same thing that would heal your sickness. Okay. Go to 13. Go to Exodus 13 or 12, excuse me. Let me show you this. Let me show you how to get plugged in. Y'all believe the Bible's true? Boy, isn't this good? Helps me. We have to write a new song, Bill, instead of, I'm just an old chunk of coat, I'm just an old extension cord. But you're going to get the power someday. Here's the receptacle, just plug right on in. And receive from heaven today. Do-do-do-do-do-do. I'm just an old extension cord. Exodus chapter 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. Everybody say, my beginning of months. Listen, if you've not believed in divine healing, you need to believe that this is the beginning of your months. This is the beginning of a new revelation and a new era in your life. You need to start making the confession and profession out of your mouth. And people say, well, I don't know about healing. You should never say out of your mouth again, well, I'm not real sure either. You should say, I know that Jesus died for my sins and he died for my healings. This should be, tonight should be a night of your new beginnings, a beginning of a new month for you. And it shall be the first month of the year to you. Now speak to all the congregation of Israel and say, now on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, and a lamb for a household. Everybody say, he took a lamb. Jesus is a lamb, right? I mean, this illustration, we know Jesus is a Passover lamb. Jesus is a lamb of God that died for our sins, okay? He goes on and he says, and if the household is too small for a lamb, let him with his neighbors in the next house take it according to the number of persons each. To each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Now listen to me. The more need you had, which at this need was more mouths, right? The more need you had, the more lamb you got. So in other words, there's enough lamb for whatever the need is. There's enough of Jesus for whatever the need is. I don't care how big the need is. There's always enough Jesus, okay? Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it twilight. Let me ask you this. What is officially twilight? I'm asking you. Twilight. Twilight's not dusk. Twilight's midnight, right? Huh? After midnight is twilight. Is this correct? Y'all, some of y'all looking, some of you shaking heads, some of you don't know, or you're just not going to go along with it, or twilight is right after midnight. Twilight, star bright, first star I see tonight. See, it's twilight. Think it's sundown? Think it's 6 o'clock. That's twilight. That's dusk. What's civil twilight? Okay. Whatever. It doesn't make any difference. I just was wondering. I was having this discussion, and I never got time to go on the internet and try to find anything on it today, and I just thought I'd ask you genius people, but I see I got nowhere, because you were still in disagreement. Actually, I thought it was kind of hard if God asked everybody to stay up to midnight to eat lamb, because I thought... Well, that's pretty tough. That was my thinking. But anyway, here we go. Verse 7. And you shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost of the lintels of the house where you shall eat it. Now, let me ask you something. How many of y'all have seen the movie Moses with Charlton Heston, the old movie? Is just about everybody here seen that? The old movie, the Charlton Heston movie as Moses, the old one? Okay. Now, as a kid, I saw this, you know, and so it made its impression on me. Because I always remembered, you know, like it showed the death angel come in. It was like this green light that began to come over, you know, and then, you know, yeah, like smoky, you know, coming. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And everybody had gone outside. And I still remember as a kid, like the very first time I saw this thing, maybe at like 8 years old, where the doorpost, they had gone out like with a paintbrush and painted this big, you know, deal of blood around the doorpost. You know, I would have too. If they said put some blood, I'd want to make sure mine was seen. Right? Let me show you this. So it says, eat of the flesh at night, they roast you with fire, unleavened bread, bitter herbs, you shall eat. I don't eat it raw. Or boil it with water, roast it with the fire. You shall let none of it remain. Verse 12, for it shall pass through the land of Egypt that night and will strike on all the firstborn man, beast against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. And the blood shall be a sign for you and on your houseposts where you are. And when you see the blood, I shall pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I shall strike the land of Egypt. For this day shall be unto you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. Y'all get that? I missed my scripture. Where's my scripture? I got too much. Y'all got me too sidetracked on Twilight. I missed it. Hibson. Yeah, there it is. Okay, 22, thank you. And you should take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into the blood that you should put it in the basin and strike the lintels of the two doorposts and the blood that is on the basin, and none of it shall go out the door until the morning. Now, come on, folks. You know, a hyssop, isn't a hyssop kind of like a, what does it look like? Sage, black brush, it's not quite as like cedar, but, you know, like a senesa, there you go. Like a senesa, okay. Can you imagine what would it look like if you took blood and you put that in that bush in that blood and then you struck it on the doorpost? Can you imagine the splatter? That's the point I want to see. In my mind, I always thought of it as the big swipes of blood over the doorpost because that's what the movie put in my mind. But that wasn't how it was. It was splattered. It was stuck in there. Whoosh, whoosh, stuck in there. Whoosh, whoosh. That's why the Apostle Paul referred to it as the blood of sprinkling. All right? Splattered all over everything. Okay? Now listen. How do you get your plug in? You get your plug in by understanding what the blood of Jesus has done for you, that it has gotten splattered all over you and that you got plugged in by the blood. And the blood, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says the blood speaks. Look it up. Hebrews 12, 24. Shoot it up on the overhead. Glad everybody can help me preach tonight. Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than blood of Abel. Go to 25. See that you do interviews. Go back to 23. Go to 24. Oh, there you go. Oh, I missed it. And the blood of the sprinkling that speaks, the blood of sprinkling that speaks, the blood of sprinkling that speaks. The blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel. The blood of sprinkling that speaks. When Abel was killed, when Cain came up to God, God said, how come your brother's blood's crying out from the ground? He didn't say he was crying out. He said his blood was crying out. Blood speaks. And Jesus' blood that's over your life, as you've made him your Lord and Savior, speaks that you have access to the receptacle to plug in. Spiritually speaking, did that just blow you away? Spiritually speaking, when you get to heaven, and if the St. Peter stands at the pearly gates, and he wants to know the password for you to get in, it's going to be Jesus or the blood of Jesus. Y'all with me? Because the blood speaks. The only thing that gives you the rights and privileges to the things of the kingdom of God is what the blood of Jesus says over your life. Y'all following me? So the only way you get yourself plugged in is because of what the blood says. So when you're going to pray for somebody and you need to make sure your connector's in, what you're going to be speaking and praying to yourself and telling yourself is what the blood of Jesus says. The blood of Jesus says, you're righteous, you're holy, you're unblameable, you're unreprovable in his sight. Not because you're a good person, not because of all the things that you do that are right, but because the blood says you are, because you've asked and pleaded the blood over your life. One of the greatest things you could ever learn from if you ever are around, I'm talking about, most of them are dead now, but an older Pentecostal from, say, that was born in, 1900. They always taught those people to pray. When they pray, they say, Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus. Well, they had a revelation of the blood. And so they use that terminology or that phraseology to say, I plead the blood of Jesus. What they're talking about is that blood. They're calling upon the blood of Jesus, that sprinkling that got thrown over the doorpost of your house, that kept the death angel back, that kept the devil back, that kept everything back over the doorpost of your house, and gave you the ability to plug in to the power of God because you were righteous. Listen, folks, this may knock your socks off too. You can do all the praying you want to. You can do all the prayer and meditation you want to, and it's not going to get you any more of the power of God. It may get your head out of the way where you can understand that you've got to get plugged into the receptacle. But listen to me, the reason why we fall into despair, the Bible says anxiety of the heart comes from the way that we're thinking. Man, you're either saved or you're not. You either have the blood of Jesus over your life or you don't. There's no. You're half saved. You may feel like you're half saved because your mind's beating you up and you hadn't been doing what's right and you hadn't been praying and reading and doing what you know to do that keeps yourself built up in the faith. But as far as the power of God, the power of God's the power of God. There's not like a flicker in the power grid in heaven that sometimes is a big power surge going out and sometimes there's not. Right? Like when we're in Guatemala, we always have to be concerned about our power tools because there's such spikes in their power grids down there that they cannot be putting out the right amount of amperage and burn up your tools. And it goes both ways, whether there's a whole bunch or there's a little bit. The flow doesn't stay constant. It burns everything up. But the flow from heaven stays constant. It's always constantly moving towards you. It's always constantly flowing towards you. It's always constantly going your direction. But the way you're going to get plugged in is you got to understand the blood and what that blood did and the blood of sprinklings over your life. Are you with me? So then you got that side plugged in. The only thing else you got to do on the other side is offer the receptacle. That's all you got to do on the other side is just offer the receptacle and say, would you, you want to plug in? I don't like churches that use continually go over and use verbiage about, that we're just lowly sinners saved by grace, lowly sinners saved by grace, lowly sinners saved by grace. Because we are sinners saved by grace, but I don't need to remind myself that I'm a sinner. I need to remind myself continually that I'm plugged into the power of God by the blood of Jesus. I don't need things to tell me how rotten I am. I already know I'm rotten. I already know I fall short of the glory of God. You with me? I need to continue to be building myself up in faith. And no, you keep your receptacle in. You're plugged into the power of God. It's not you. It's Jesus. He's the one that's going to do it. He's the one flowing through you. He's the one that's empowering your temple and filling your temple. And it's either Jesus or he's not. It's not. Listen, folks, I can have mood swings. I can be full of energy, no energy, hot, tired, whatever that. But that mood swing or that emotional swing doesn't have anything to do with is the power of God still flowing to me? That all has to do with, am I going to get my head on straight to believe what God said in his word's true? Because it either is or it isn't. And we Christians have got to get off of the vacillation back and forth and off the fence of saying one day we yes and another day we're not because of the way we feel. Listen to me, you cannot move by your feelings. You cannot pray for people by your feelings. I pray for people based upon what the Word of God says about the truth and what healing's there. Amen? God, thank God, is not like us. He's not in a mood swing either. You're not going to go to him one day and he said, look, I'm tired and I've had enough. You know how many people have come to me for prayer today? And so, go on, come back tomorrow. Maybe I'll be in a better mood. That doesn't happen. Because the blood of Jesus, that blood of sprinkling that's been thrown with that hyssop over the lintel, the doorpost of your house, your temple, that's all that you need to stay plugged in. It's what the blood says. But the devil doesn't want you to know that. Because he knows if he can talk you out of that, he can talk you out of every promise that God has for you. When the devil goes to jacking with you, talking to your head, you need to tell him what the blood says. You need to tell him that according to Colossians 1:22, that you're holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight because of the blood. And then he'll say, but I know what you did last night. And you say, that doesn't make any difference. I repented of that. The blood is over my life. The blood speaks better things than what you're saying. That's how you stay hooked in. Amen? Everybody say the blood speaks. Okay, now I want to do this. Put your Bibles up. Oh, it's early. Stand up. Turn around and kind of stretch your legs out. I want you to get all limbered up. Now let me ask you a question. Is everybody in here? Are you saved? You know Jesus? You know you're saved? Right? Yeah. Tracy, are you? Okay. If you're saved, you know you're saved. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You know it. Okay. Then the blood of Jesus is crying out for you that all the promises of heaven are yours. Okay? Every promise. I don't know what you have need of tonight. I don't know what's going on. Now listen, I can tell you, we're gonna take it just a moment, we're gonna pray. Now I believe if you here tonight, you have a personal need. Okay? If you're sick in your body right now and you have a personal need, I'm preach this to build your faith, to lay hands on one another, to let the power of God you go through you. You're a cord. Everybody say I'm an electric cord. Okay? An extension cord. I'm an extension cord. Okay? And to do whatever the person needs. I don't know what you need tonight. I know Davis and Teresa need water. Seems rather simple if we were in the middle of a drought. But they need a miracle. Right? Now, you say, well, Pastor, folks, I don't know how God works it out. That ain't my business. I'm an extension cord. I don't know how God's going to work it out in your life. I don't know. That's not my job to know. See, that's where people get too mixed up in all this mess. Don't get mixed up in God's affair. Let God be God. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to work it out. I'm just called to be the preacher and tell everybody that they're an extension cord. So I don't know how God's going to get water. I don't know when water's coming. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know. I just know I got to be an extension cord. Okay? Physical healing? I don't know. I don't know how God's going to work it out in your life. I don't know. You don't know. That's not your issue. But I can tell you this, if you're praying tonight for someone else, okay, you got to remember free will is involved. But I believe that if you're praying for somebody else and you pray the prayer, your extension cord's hooked up, I have to visualize. I'm a very visual person, if y'all hadn't figured that out yet. I believe you shoot the pulse out. And it's going, and it's going, and it's going, and it's going to hit the target of your prayer. What happens is up to the person that got hit. You see, I believe people can be healed miraculously like that and be hit somewhere and lose the healing because they don't speak it out of their mouth and walk in it. And they say, ooh, something happened. I don't know what that was. They got hit by a pulse, but they didn't walk in what God had for them, and they lose it. So what I want you to do is I want you to get and join hands, somebody around you, somebody else. It doesn't make any difference to me. And I want us to pray. Whatever you feel impressed to pray for, whatever you have. If you have a need, pray. Share the need if you want to pray. But if you're praying for each other, then bless God, lay hands on one another, and believe God for the power, the pulse, the anointing, the flow. Speak it out of your mouth. Pray it out of your mouth.